da ba ka pa she ge re ba. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. Thank you, Lord Abakasu. Nia karaba ka po se kidi pa ya ka pa se na da 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 bu se kidi pa aya raba ta da 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 ba ka se karaba ka pa she ne 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 bu se da da ka pa she da da. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, that all. Anabaka shekede baka sanada. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Savior. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration, oh God. We thank you for your mercies and your grace for us this morning. May your name be praised and be lifted up on high. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. It's another morning that God has given us to learn from him and to hear from him. And today we are looking at the church in Antioch of Syria. And you know, when we were in Acts chapter 11 and from verse 19, and it's important that I mention there are two Antiochs. So there's the Antioch of Syria and there's the Antioch of Pisidia, P-S-I-D-I-A. So this Antioch of Syria is it becomes now the new center of the church. Remember, the believers have been scattered. The Bible says, as they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the good news. But the only difference is that when the believers left Jerusalem, many of them just went preaching only to the Jews. But God had wanted that the gospel message to not only go to the Jews, but also to go to the Gentiles. So I want us to read, and then we'll just have a quick discussion on it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, I'm reading from NLT. It says, meanwhile, the believers who had been scattered during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch of Syria. They preached the word of God, but only to the Jews. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch from Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. So you can see initially there was some form of discrimination in that, remember, the Jews, yes, they were converts to Christianity. Yes, they knew about salvation, but to them, it had not yet gotten to them, to their understanding that salvation was not just for the Jews alone, but as well also for the Gentiles. God's desire is that all men be saved. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that God's heart, God's desire is that all men be saved. So now at this point, they were not having that understanding. And it was only Peter who had that vision. And then he went back to the people and in Joppa, and he told them, you know, what God had done. And so they rejoiced. So there were a few believers who had the understanding that the gift of the Holy Spirit was for all men, Jews and Gentiles alike. But then at this point, so they came, they wanted to preach the good news, and you can see it's based on their ignorance, based on their cultural upbringing. They felt that no, we shouldn't preach to the Gentiles. But the Bible says, however, you know, some of the believers who went to Antioch, you know, this is how God works. God just rises up people. I mean, you can go to a place and refuse to preach or refuse to reach out, refuse to be a laborer, but God's work will never be stopped. And so some of the believers who went to Antioch and from Cyprus and Cyrene began to preaching to the Gentiles. And remember thinking these ones who were in Cyprus and who were even in Cyrene, and Cyrene, remember, was even in Africa. So some of the believers, you know, came up and the Bible says they began to preach to the Gentiles. And the Bible says the power of the Lord was with them, and a great number of them believed and turned to the Lord. That means God started to work in their midst with signs, miracles, and wonders. Verse 22, the Bible says, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw this evidence of God's blessing, the Bible says, when he saw the grace of God, when he saw the evidence of God's blessing, of God's grace, he was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. And, you know, with all purpose of heart, he told them that they will cleave to the Lord. And verse 24 tells us of the character of Barnabas. It says, Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And many people were brought to the Lord. Now, remember, Barnabas is the son of encouragement. He was the one that, you know, initially he had sold his land and he brought it to the feet of the apostles and it was distributed to people. When Paul, you know, or rather Saul at that point, when he came to Jerusalem and he had just been converted and he wanted to join himself with the believers and they could not let him, they did not believe him. But the Bible says Barnabas took him in. And so you can see now this same Barnabas, the Bible says he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. That means he was an encourager, a son of consolation. He was also a good man. He had a good character. He was well spoken of people. He was full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. And the Bible says, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. And both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. Now that is very key. Now you can see what was happening. I mean, the believers started preaching to the Jews, so to the Gentiles. So you can see that there is now a community that is forming up. Now this is a pattern of the church that God wanted, because God did not just want it to be for the Jews, but he wanted it also to be the Gentiles. And so Barnabas comes, he starts to preach, and people, God adds to the number, and he feels, no, I cannot do this alone. Let me look for Saul, because Saul is, God has, you know, I mean, God was doing so much with him. God had taken him to Arabia. He had, you know, he had grown in wisdom, in understanding, in revelations. And so he brings Saul, he goes and goes to Tarsus, and he finds Saul. And he brings him to Antioch. So he brings him to the new center. You will call it not just the center of the church, but the new location where the main believers of the church moved. And remember, if you see Acts 13, it says, now in the church of Antioch there are prophets and teachers. You know, that means there were many teachers. There was a lot of teaching, and you know, it describes of the different types of teachers who are praying together in community and fasting together, ministering unto the Lord. And then that is where Saul and Barnabas are called to the work in which God called them to do. So the Bible says he brought them to Antioch, and both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. And it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. So it's very important that you realize that when the believers were first called Christians, it is because it was actually a derogative term. They were feeling that these people are like small Christs, like they are followers of Christ. They are behaving like Christ. But there was a product of that. It is because of teaching, great teaching. When the people are taught the word of God, remember, the word of God is a seed. Now each believer becomes a potent seed that is able to multiply and is able to spread the word to others. So if you build people, the people are able to build others, and they're able, you know, remember when Timothy was told, and this message that I have taught you, find able men, find faithful men who will and teach them, who will be in turn be qualified to teach others. So God's word works in multiplication. When it is just one man who is teaching, then and people are not growing, then that means that they are not able to multiply as fast as possible. But you see, when there is proper teaching and the people are brought to maturity, then each of them is able to be a seed and to bring multiplication. So if for us to grow churches, for us to grow people, we must teach the word of God, and we must bring people to maturity. We must desire that there is intentional discipleship that brings people to maturity. And the Bible says it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. Now, verse 27, and we'll see some of the things why they were called Christians. Verse 27 tells us that during this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. So now you can see there are two churches, and the church in Antioch is growing. The people are being taught. There is evidence of the grace of God among them. Saul and Barnabas are preaching to them. They are teaching them, and they are growing, and they are growing strong. And the Bible says that even God brought prophets to them. Agabus came, and you can see how this community was growing. It's not that the prophets were in isolation. It's not that the pastors and the teachers were in isolation. No, but all of them were working together as a team, because they considered themselves one body. And what was the evidence? The Bible says that you can see generosity, love. One of the true evidences of a body of Christ that is being built, you know, when people find Christians, they need to find them with love. One of the evidence that they see is that they were generous. And the Bible says they were giving to everyone as much as they could. Now, Agabus predicted by the Spirit. So you can see they were still prophets. In as much as the Bible says that we shall all prophesy, there are still also those who also are in the prophetic office. There are those who are given the gift of prophecy. Remember, it was he that gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, you know, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the body. Now, Agabus predicted by the Spirit of God that a famine was coming, and the Bible says that this came to pass. It came to be fulfilled. And now you see, because remember, the church in Jerusalem was suffering a lot of persecution, but the church in Antioch were not being persecuted at this point. Later on, yes, they start being persecuted, but at this point, they were growing. The word was being taught. They were enjoying. Remember, again, in Jerusalem, it's like a parallel. The same thing that God did in Jerusalem, if you go to Acts chapter 2:42, where it says the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and to fellowship and to breaking of bread, you know, and to meeting daily, and the Lord added to their number. And then also, if you also see in Acts chapter 4, I think it's from verse 32, where it says that the believers from time to time, they shared among themselves, they were generous, and each one, there was no poor person among them. So we see one common characteristic that among a body of believers who are, you know, going through revival, who are going through the outpouring of the Spirit, who are living out the Christian faith, is actually that they become generous. They meet the needs of each other. And the Bible says, let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time we shall reap a harvest. especially if we do not give up. That's in Galatians 6. Let us not become weary of doing good, especially to those who are of the family of faith. God has called us to be generous, and not just for ourselves, but especially to those who are of the family of faith, because at times we can easily grow weary. I mean, you're giving, and the same person is still asking, and you're like, I mean, man, do something for yourself, you know, do something, I mean, work. But you see, at times, it's not that we should encourage laziness, but you see, there are those who are really suffering for the gospel. There are those who are maybe missionaries who need that support. There are those who are actually, you know, serving the gospel. They are members of the faith, the household of faith. But you see, like the church in Jerusalem was going through persecution. And on top of that, there was a famine that was on their place, and it was predicted. But you see, we can see the love of the Gentiles. We can see that these Gentiles who were taught the word of God, who grew in number, who were devoted to the teaching of Barnabas and Saul, they became generous and shared of their giving. The Bible says everyone gave as much as they could. It's not that they were giving beyond their ability. They just gave what they could. What they were able to do, they sent relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea. And they sent their gifts with Barnabas and Paul and Saul to the elders in Jerusalem. And the amazing thing is that we can see now why they were called Christians. People don't see your faith inside your heart. People see the actions of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When someone says, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, without this, there is no other law. The evidence that you are a Christian is seen in your actions. It is seen in your love. And this is really how we see the evidence of the Christians in Antioch of Syria. And we see that God poured out his love on them. The love was shared. There was teaching. There was evangelism. God was pouring out his grace. There was no discrimination between Jews and Gentiles. And God grew them. God is the one that adds to the numbers of the people. As we reflect on what we've looked at today, and we ask ourselves, are we just Christians by name, or there is evidence that people can say, you are a Christian. This man is a Christian. You know, nowadays some people say, no, I don't need to say anything. If you're in a setting where you cannot say anything, that's okay. But does your life signify, does your life speak that you are a Christian? The Bible says the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And for me, it's a great challenge, and it's a challenge to us this morning as we reflect and ask ourselves, can people call us Christians? Can they see our lives? Can they see that we are followers of Christ? We are small Christs. We are embodying the lifestyle, the teaching, the character, the love, the generosity, you know, the behavior that is expected of those of the faith. This is what is needed for us to be called first, to be called Christians. I pray that God will encourage us with this short sharing, and by the grace of God, we'll carry on as God allows us to study. And tomorrow, if God allows us, we shall be able to look at now how persecution happens, and again with Herod, and how, you know, James is killed and how Peter is arrested, and we'll be able to see how God is able to intervene in the lives of his people. Let us pray. Maybe you're there and you have never given your life to Jesus. Being a Christian starts with putting your faith in Christ for the salvation of your sins, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that paid the price for you. And you're there and you want to become a Christian. You want to be a follower of Christ. You want to live the life of faith it takes first your confession, your receiving Christ, and then beyond that, asking him by the grace of God to show you the life, to lead you in the life of righteousness, to guide you how righteousness is lived, and God's grace is able to keep you. Our Father and Lord, I thank you for my brother, my sister who desires to know you and who desires to hear your voice, that Lord, you are the God that calls both Jews and Gentiles, both slave and free, both the rich and poor. You call each and every man without any favoritism, and you bring to repentance those that look to you, them that desire to hear you and to know the truth that is in you. I pray for your hand over them. I pray for your protection. You, as they put their faith in you, O God, the Lord, you cleanse their hearts and from their sins. And the Lord, you also give them the grace and the ability to live this life, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to demonstrate love, to demonstrate generosity, to demonstrate truth, O God. And I pray for teachers, O God, the Lord, you send forth into the church teachers, O God, teachers of your word, encouragers of your word, because when these are in among us, O God, we are able to grow in and multiply, O God. And I pray that, Lord, everyone that is hearing your word becomes a potent seed that they are able to multiply and teach others also and encourage them to the faith, because your desire is that all men be saved. Even as we go on with our works and our activities, go ahead of us, keep us safe, protect us, and watch over us. May your hand carry on and strengthen us in everything. We pray all this, trusting and believing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom, shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day. Bye-bye.